Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. You are live with Pastor Lou and
Pastor Rebecca
of the Maryland Altar in Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. And this is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. This is segment two, a follow-up from last week's segment one, on the announcement to the United States of America of Elijah and the arrival of Elijah as prophesied in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. And we laid the foundation, some foundation, key foundation scriptures as to when the Lord serves a servant for a people, when the Lord sends a servant, and what the land looks like at the time that he sends his prophets. And we went and took a look at many scriptures in the Old Testament and saw that whenever the land was wiped out, whenever the moral decay and debauchery had reached such a point that the priesthood had failed in entirety, the Lord would send a prophet. So in other words, it was never good news to the priesthood when a prophet was on the scene, because that means that the priests were not hearing from the Lord. That means that the priests of the land, the pastors of the land, were not hearing and obeying from the Lord. And so the Lord says, I myself will hold them to account. And he sends a prophet and puts the words of the Lord into the mouth of the prophet. We see that with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Samuel, and the list goes on. As our reference scripture in the Old Testament, as we lay out the as is, the current state of the United States of America and the prophetic word that the Lord is speaking to the United States of America, we looked at Ezekiel 34. And as a refresher, just the first four verses in Ezekiel 34, and you'll see these scriptures also on the website at highwayofholiness.us. Ezekiel 34, New International Version, verse 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the spiritual shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the spiritual shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The diseased and weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The hurt and the crippled you have not bandaged. Those gone astray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought to find. But with force and hard-hearted harshness you have ruled them. That's Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 4. And please do read all of Ezekiel 34 offline. We paid special attention to verse 11 in Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. That's very good news from a very gracious Lord. Now we understand why the prophets were always prophesying judgment. They were there to do the work of the Lord, to repair the house of the Lord. And we all know the scripture too well that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And as a reference, we have Ezekiel 34 as our foundation scripture. Also in the New Testament is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is often applied to the world. must often apply to those that are not of the house of the Lord. But as we will see, 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3, is almost identical to Ezekiel chapter 34. And here we see Paul speaking to Timothy and to the pastors, watch out, because this is what you will see in the latter days. This is the current, as is the current state of affairs of the church, and particularly the pastoral leaders, the priests, the prophets, the fivefold ministry in the United States of America. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and please underline disobedient to their parents, or take note of that specific phrase because we'll see it again. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's clearly in reference to the church leadership. This is what we see in the United States of America. This is what we see when the Holy Spirit is put into a box, if he's acknowledged at all. The Lord God Almighty himself, the mighty Holy Spirit, is not even recognized as an authority, is not even taught about. And few ministers, or even those that are aware, are willing to let the mighty Holy Spirit work in any given church on any given Sunday, lest they lose control of the service and the Lord takes over. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaking exactly what we see in Ezekiel 34, the fall of the priesthood and the fall in the land. Here's how you know for certain that this is no exaggeration. This is the word of the Lord, and he is very specific, very unambiguous, is verse 6. They are the kind who worm their homes, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, and who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. And doesn't that describe to a T the priesthood and the church leaders, the false prophets, the false apostles, and the false pastors, in these last times, in these perilous days, terrible times, as Timothy says, in the United States of America? Don't we have televangelists worming their way into homes? Don't we have radio broadcasts and all sorts of media, be it mass marketing mailing, be it television, cable, radio, internet, where all of these ministers, the ministers of Satan, play upon the guilt of those that are at home to get them to sow a seed and get their miracle, to get them to sow a seed and they're manipulated for their own freedom. They're told to sow a seed and bribe the Lord for their own lack of righteousness, for their own lack of holiness. Because the Holy Spirit's been booted out, and without him, who can be righteous and who can be holy, particularly today? And isn't that the blood of the Lamb over the church? Didn't Jesus promise us the mighty Jesus Christ told us that he would send us the Holy Spirit, who would teach us and show us and guide us and counsel us. But here they are, these false prophets and false pastors and false teachers worming their way into the homes to gain control. And we see more manipulation tactics and psyop tactics from the false pastors throughout the land than even Madison Avenue could ever hope to conjure. Emotionally tugging, mixing the water of the word, the water of the world with the oil of the word of the Lord. And so the church and the bride, she hears a mixed message. It has a form of godliness, but the power of the Holy Spirit has been far removed. The holiness of the Holy Spirit has been far removed. This is no different than Ezekiel 34, chapter 4, when the Lord tells us a very sad story through the oracle of Ezekiel. The diseased and the weak have not been strengthened, and we haven't healed the sick. In fact, the church has taken advantage of them. The false pastors, the false prophets, and false apostles take advantage and manipulate and wheedle to get their way, which is always comes down to their money and to their own flesh. So as a parallel in the New Testament, as a foundation for what the Lord is speaking to the United States of America, 2 Timothy 3 substantiates Ezekiel 34, and we once again find consistency in the scriptures, and we should, because we serve a Lord that does not change. But we do know that men do change, and oftentimes for the worse, when they leave the righteousness of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit out, and they have forgotten that they don't look at all like they've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Pastor Rebecca, is there anything you'd like to add here?
Just briefly. I wanted to jump down to verse 15. Timothy 1 and Timothy 2 was written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to Timothy. He was under training in the ministry of Jesus Christ by Paul. He was being discipleship by Paul. In verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, as Pastor Lou was describing the fall of some of the present clergy, they have been mesmerized by money, fame, you name it, self-love, self-worth, all in the name of Jesus Christ. But the scriptures clearly state that the purpose for a pastor is to use the word, that it's to be useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen. When was the last time you went to church and you were just filled with godly teaching, with actually rebuking? Have you ever heard a pastor rebuke anybody or any church members or any practice that was manifesting within the church? They don't, because they don't want to lose the essential funds that they need. And that's what rebuking would probably do. It would make them leave the church. If they were corrected, if they were trained in righteousness. Righteousness is the only currency that we currently have at this present hour. So therefore, we need to be so sensitive to that and be honest with the Lord and the Holy Spirit that He would shine His light upon us and show us these things, the sins in our life, the shortcomings, and that we would just confess them and ask for the Lord's forgiveness, that we would repent and prepare our hearts for the way of the Lord to come. And we have more that Pastor Lou would like to share on. I will go ahead and give the phone over to you.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Rebecca. Let's hear what the Lord has to say, and hopefully very little of what Pastor Lou has to say. And so we understand what you're trying to say. Thank you. The discouraging note here is also, on the other side, also very encouraging. And so, as noted, the message of righteousness is scarce indeed, and the currency of righteousness is as scarce as diamonds today. And as we read through both the Old Testament and the New Testament confirming, we take a look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. And we read in there the prophecy that we're announcing to the church in the United States of America. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. And as we read through 2 Timothy, we see in there, and a note on the side you should have, on disobedient to their parents. And we also see the lack of affection and the lack of love from parents even to their children. We see this. We see the children sacrificed at the altar of Baal. And they go and they head out to daycare while mommy goes out to work. And she's oftentimes working because there is no father at home at all, and it's become a broken family. Even more abominable, there might be a two-mommy family in the United States of America, where we've become so anesthetized, numb, and inured to sin that homosexuals can marry, not even in the secular world, but also in the church. So we are ordaining homosexual pastors and priests, and we wonder why it is the Lord would tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there will be terrible times in the last days. It is so bad, even the heathen, even those on the outside, even the pagans recognize the massive, massive confusion. So if the Lord sends His mighty end-time servant, which He has done, and we see Malachi 4, verses 5 through 6 fulfilled, we have such a state of confusion in the church, she can no longer recognize the false prophets from the prophets of the Lord. So as a brief recap, and we will go into the introduction and announcement of Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, but it's absolutely critical that your church understands how to discern a prophet of the Lord from the false prophets. So we read Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 in our first segment. These are the acid tests given by God to Moses and the Israelites for discerning a prophet of the Lord. And in summary, the prophet's word must come to pass, and that prophet must not lead you to another God. We find out further that that prophet obviously should not be building his own kingdom, but he'll be building the kingdom of his Lord, the Lord God Almighty, not his own personal kingdom. But there's still confusion, still great confusion in the land with the Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18. There was so much confusion that even in the days of Jesus, the apostles were still confused and didn't really understand. There were so many false prophets running around then, and false pastors and false teachers. They were known as the scribes and the Pharisees. So here we have Matthew 7:14, where Jesus details to a greater level, a higher level of understanding false prophets from the prophets of the Lord. And this is the spiritual acid test the Lord gives us. And let's pay close attention to what the boss said, the word that became life and flesh, the word that became flesh. This is what he said. Watch out, this is Matthew 7, verses 15, excuse me. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I like the King James Version, hewn, and the axe is hewn to the root, and it gets cast into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So we have Deuteronomy 13, where their word must come to pass. We have Deuteronomy 13 and chapter 18, where they must not lead you to another God or to another kingdom. The prophet is not to be building his own kingdom. The prophet will not prophesy for money. The end time servant, this Malachi 4:5 prophet, cannot prophesy for money, as we've seen so many of the false prophets in the United States of America. That's the common denominator, in fact. Find somebody prophesying for money, and as we said in the first segment, I will guarantee you, you have a false prophet. Find a prophet and a school of prophets, and there you have a school of blasphemy, for isn't it the Lord that calls his prophets? Finally, we have in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, to settle the matter, to raise it up to just another level, for the spiritual ears hear and the spiritual eyes to see, you will recognize the prophet of the Lord by his fruits. And with that, now you can see that there are no prophets in the land of the United States of America. Because if there were, she would have been in repentance a long time ago. Amen. If there was a prophet or an apostle in the United States of America, he would have been bearing the fruits of a prophet or an apostle, and the land would show those fruits of righteousness, those fruits of repentance, those fruits, those spiritual fruits, not of the kingdom of this world and not of money. They would be showing the fruits of the Lord, because that's the acid test that Jesus gave us. So now we know that there are no prophets in the United States of America, and now we know there are no real apostles in the United States of America, for the land is not repenting. She's the 2 Timothy chapter 3 church in the United States of America. That's what we see. The pastors and the shepherds, that's the Ezekiel 34 church, unfortunately, in the United States of America. So use Matthew 7:15, add that to Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, a higher level yet, and a higher bar to cross over, and the Lord gives us a very good picture of a true prophet from a false prophet, and how you can discern that. So if you see revival, clearly, that must be led by a prophet of the Lord. No prophet, no false prophet, could lead a revival of repentance and righteousness. For those fruits are good fruits. Those are the fruits of the kingdom of God. That's the fruit that John the Baptist said, oh, show works meet unto repentance. Show that you, if you say you're repenting, well, then you would surely be showing some fruits of repentance. And there we have it in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of Matthew, from John the Baptist's own mouth, as well as from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the acid test of a true prophet from a false prophet. This is critical because we see so many false prophets all throughout the land, and they're all prophesying for money. So we went through Numbers 22, and we know the elders of Moab and Midian took with them the fee for divination for Balaam. Balaam prophesied for money. We know if they're prophesying for money, selling prophecies, teaching prophecies for money, they're false prophets. Very simple. The scripture is clear. The Lord Jesus is very clear, and we see this consistently over and over again in scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, again, very clear, verses 14 through 16. This is just verse 15. They followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam prophesied, greedy for gain, greedy for money. This is where the majority of false prophets in the United States will fall under. We obviously have those that not all fall under just for money. Many are out for deception too, and power and control. But we can see and know, oh, they're not producing fruits in alignment with the kingdom of God. They're not producing good fruit. They're not producing any fruit except for the things of the world for themselves. So before we introduce Malachi 4:5, the end time servant of the Lord, and announce and introduce him to the United States of America, it was very critical to lay this foundation discerning between false prophets and the prophet of the Lord. The standard the Lord set, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are consistent. What the Lord spoke through Moses, what the Lord spoke to Moses and the children of Israel, and what our Lord Jesus spoke to his apostles and to those around him, knowing that the false prophets would be everywhere. And the Lord did not leave us without guidance. The Lord did not leave us without help. We have both the Holy Spirit, the mighty living Holy Spirit, and the living Word of God as a sure and certain, immovable foundation that we can be anchored upon. And so as we anchor on the Gospels and we anchor on the Word of the Lord, we can go forward and take a look at the Malachi 4:5, promised end time servant of the Lord. All of the scriptures and the foundations that we've gone through thus far are on the website at Highway of Holiness. That's one word, highwayofholiness.us. And uploaded there will be the 2 Peter and 2 Timothy scriptures as well for reference, as well as Matthew 7. Is there anything that you would like to add, Pastor Rebecca, where time has flown by? We're down to about 60 seconds.
Not this moment.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Next week, we will introduce the Lord's end-time servant, cover Malachi 4:5-6, Amos 3:7, because as we noted and announced the glorious end-time revival of Joel 2:28, surely the Lord does nothing without announcing it through his prophets. So there must be the prophet of the Lord introducing the Joel 2:28 end-time revival as well. And with that, we will see you next week, actually Thursday, at the midnight hour. We pray that you are blessed, that your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes are opened, and that everyone that hears this is preparing for the glorious coming of the Messiah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Shalom.